hello and welcome to the Dave Hall post-game show. Oh, I'm sorry, I mean the Rebel Room.
Oh, I thought he was clear out of my noggin. Why'd you do that?
I had to. It was too easy.
Oh.
You just, this big smile gets on your face when Dave Hall shows up to a game.
You know, there was only 33 fouls called tonight, unlike his usual 50-plus. You know.
But there were plenty of little
There was plenty. I don't think we can even get to all the sideshows and circus-like atmosphere. That's the thing, you know. It is the Ringling, I can barely even spit
Ringling
it out. The Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Dave Hall Circus. That's what it is.
But you know what? The Rebels didn't let it get to them tonight. Ryan Green and Rob Mish here to discuss UNLV's 83-66 victory over Wyoming. They didn't let the fouls distract them. The game being broken up by some tedious stuff here and there. They played their best game so far in the Mountain West Conference schedule, and that's of course not really saying much. But it's a start, and it's something that was needed because BYU's up next. We'll get to that later. But yeah, great performance all around for the Rebels.
It's a real big start for them, and I think you said it best. It is, you know, I didn't know where you were going with that, but yeah, it's their best win in the Mountain West. That's obvious.
Yeah.
But it's a big statement because this team doesn't need to think about yesterday or last week or last month.
Yep.
Forget about Louisville. Forget about Cincinnati, Cal. Forget about the great win at Arizona. It's time to just forget about all of that and think about what are they going to do to be better for today and tomorrow and just
Wednesday.
And be relaxed and focused and forget about all the crap because Lord knows we have seen a lot of crap from this team in the last week.
Yeah, and they really didn't show much at all today. You look at, you know, we're gonna get into some numbers here really quick before we throw it to Coach Kruger and some of the players for their reaction, but you know, the two that pop off the page to me, offensive rebounds and turnovers. UNLV had 22 offensive rebounds to go with 22 defensive rebounds. Now that covered up a 33-77 performance on the floor, which was 42.9%, which was a lower field goal percentage than they had in the TCU or Colorado State games. So
this game will make you run to the medicine cabinet for aspirin so quick. You can't really look at the stats and figure things out sometimes, but I think of those two stats you talked about, offensive rebounds and low turnovers, it was the fourth time this season they had 8 turnovers in a game. So that's becoming a staple. The new guys are learning that's what a Kruger system is about, but we need to turn that around and look at those 22 offensive rebounds because that is exceptional. That hasn't been there. Heck, that hasn't been there in this team since March 07 when...
They had 24 against Georgia Tech in the NCAA tournament at the United Center in Chicago.
You were there and
so
I was there.
Yeah, and we didn't know each other. We were in each other's hearts.
Right.
But, yeah. But, yeah, that's huge. Their previous high this season was 17, and that was back in their second game of the season.
Yep.
The turnovers, you know, you talked about the 8 becoming a staple, but boy, did they need that staple tonight because I remember there was about 3 minutes left in the game and I looked at the stats and saw they had 7 turnovers. And I turned to you and I said, do you realize they have as many turnovers right now as they had 9 minutes into the Colorado State game?
Yeah.
When they started so sloppy, so undisciplined. But tonight, the complete opposite. They took their time. Everybody was active, moving around, crashing the glass. You know, guys were getting rebounds where you're just like, whoa, did Kendall Wallace just go up in traffic and get that defensive board? I mean, there were just a lot of those moments. And, boy, I bet Lon Kruger would be happy with that energy level every time out.
Yeah, no question about that.
Most coaches would,
Of course, sir. They psyched themselves out Wednesday at Colorado State.
Yep.
And it came up again when I asked Joe Darger about it tonight. And I'm sure people have read our stuff. Maybe they've heard us talk about it, but they had nothing short of a layup line fiasco Wednesday night at Colorado State. Very unbecoming of what we have seen all season in those guys in layups.
Yeah, especially on the road.
Well, and especially since it's been done to them, just to fill you in a little bit, at Louisville and even at UTEP, those two teams were sort of showing up the Rebels a little bit in layup lines, more of dunking lines and hot-dogging and getting the crowd revved up for more of like the Globetrotters than what was to come. And what was to come, both those teams lost to the Rebels. UNLV took offense to that. So what happens Wednesday night? They start clowning around, and Joe Jarger told me tonight that maybe it was the case that they just had too much time on their hands. That's not them. That will never be them again. They ended up losing, falling flat on their bleeps to Colorado State, and they said that a lot of the reason for that was how they came out, how they kind of dissed Colorado State in that lineup line. So that was not minor. And practice at Thursday was extremely professional. Mm-hmm. It was extremely hard.
We thought a fight was about to break out at any moment.
There were a couple times that were really hot and heavy. I thought Rene Rougeau was going to lose his left eye at one point. He got poked in the eye so hard. Chase Stanback and Trayvon Willis looked like they were about to throw down. I mean, it was hot and heavy, and it was very intense. Wink Adams told me it was the most intense practice he's had at UNLV. So that gives you a little idea of what happened. In the middle of that practice, Kruger stopped it, and he was just barely above a whisper. He said some words that were pretty poignant. He gathered them together, and I could barely hear, but I could hear. He said, "Be strong with the ball. Be there for each other. Stay strong. We've worked too hard for this." Mm-hmm. The players have had several team meetings over the past few days. They talked at training table today before the game, and they were pretty honest with each other from what I was told. Not so much getting in each other's faces, but they kind of spoke up. They atoned for errors, past misdeeds, lazy passes, lackadaisical defense. And, hey, at least for one game, they straightened themselves out, and maybe this will become a pattern.
And they're going to need, an effort like tonight's will at least keep them in the game against BYU on Wednesday night at the Marriott Center. BYU, of course, lost on Saturday 81-62 at New Mexico. We will talk about that. We'll look more in-depth at the Wyoming game, look ahead to BYU in a couple minutes. First, let's throw it to Coach Lon Kruger, Joe Darger, Rene Rougeau. Here are some comments from after tonight's 83-66 victory. Gentlemen, take it away.
Seems like more than a week since we've had a good feeling after a ball game, but a lot better energy, a lot better attack. That Wyoming's been playing great, and obviously it was a closer ball game than the final score would indicate, but still liked our aggressiveness and liked our being on the attack and made some good plays for each other and a little bit more active to the boards as well. So maybe a step in the right direction. Have to get better each day. Better effort, I thought for sure. More focused effort. You know, the effort, it's not just the effort. It's the idea of being focused and thinking about the result as much as it takes more than just to work hard. You know, our guys, they've worked hard, but they haven't really competed for the result and stayed focused with their effort. The awareness is as important as effort defensively, communication, all those areas we have to continue to improve. Very good to see the effort to the glass. We missed a lot of shots. Missed a lot of them there in the first half, especially. But even in the ball game, I don't know. So 75 shots. You know, it's a lot of shots in a ball game. So when you miss a few, you get a chance to get a few of them back, I guess.
I just realized we got to do all the little things in each ball game to make a difference in the ball game. Last couple games, we haven't been doing the little things in the ball game that's cost us. So. And working on doing little things and offensive rebound and diving on the floor, getting all the loose balls. So I think that was played a big part tonight. Oh, it makes it much easier when you get all the extra possessions in the game. So you know the least you can turn the ball over, and the more offensive rebounds and little plays you get like that, they add up big at the end.
You know, seeing I only had two rebounds last game, I was very upset with myself about that. And everyone, seeing Joe go hard like that made me want to go even harder. So, and Darius and Bryce, they also did a good job on the rebounding tonight. I think more than anything, we just really came out with a great focus from the beginning of the game. You know, we showed that, we wanted to come out hard and dictate, and, we can't let people be, knocking us around. You know, we had to be doing that. And, we had a lot of respect for Wyoming tonight. You know, they're a deadly team without a doubt. Brandon Ewing, O'Geary, he was deadly from beyond the arcs. So, we definitely knew coming in, it was going to be a battle. And so, playing in front of the Pac the Mac night, we really wanted to give our fans something to cheer about. We all have to play, very, basically upset. We haven't won up there in a while. That's a tough place. They're going to be upset also. They just lost today, so it's definitely going to be a war down there, and we're looking forward to it, and we just got to come out and play our hearts out, basically.
All right, well, there you have it. That's what the guys had to say. Here's what we have to say. We talked a little bit about the offensive rebounds, the turnovers, but there was plenty more to draw from this game, and something that I know you focused on after the game, talking with Wink Adams. He had that 11-2 personal run against Wyoming late in the first half. He did it in a variety of ways. Hit the three. Had a, you know, I believe he tipped back in one of his own misses in that stretch. Or no, that was in the second half. But I mean, took it to the hole hard. He was doing a little bit of everything, just going balls to the wall. Had two steals in that stretch. Just the old school Wink Adams that we had grown accustomed to. He showed flashes of it against Colorado State. He showed it all night against Wyoming.
Yeah, he's back to his old self, and they're all pretty happy to see it. He was happier than any of them to see it. He had that little flex move, the little shake and bake after the that last move where he went to the line.
Did it a couple times, just yelling. And
poor.
He was into it.
Poor Jabril Thiem. Is that how you say the name?
Tam, I believe it is.
Tam. Anyway, poor kid, because he was on the losing end of a lot of those drives. And
5 fouls in 14 minutes.
Well, and he had a great view, best view in the house of Wink's pull-up three there during his 11-point run. So he took the brunt of it. But what a 6'9 kid is doing on powerful 6-foot Adams, I don't know. Maybe Heath Schroyer needs to go back to the drawing board just a little bit. But Wink was driving. He was conniving and back to his old self. He said that the team meetings over the past 2 days have been real beneficial, and we're going to see him just be a lot more vocal. It's going to come probably a little piecemeal here and there. Anybody who was at the game tonight, and there was a big, good crowd tonight,
over 17,000. Very good crowd.
So people can expect to see a much more vocal Wink Adams.
And, you know, you talk about a 6'9" guy on Wink Adams, and, you know, maybe 6'9" guys not being very comfortable with that for Wyoming, but, you know, for UNLV, we can't talk enough about the defensive job they did on Brandon Ewing, the Mountain West leading scorer, who came in averaging 19.1 a game. You know, after the game, he said, you know, there's not one guy, he doesn't believe there's any one guy who can hold him to 7 points, which he was held to for the second time this year. He was held in single digits, had 7 against Loyola Marymount.
Well,
he had
2 for the longest stretch, right?
Yeah, he had 2 at the very beginning of the, now here's what happened with Brandon, 2 at the very, very beginning of the game, and if you remember, he had it was a driving layup where he got fouled up by Darius Santee on the way up, and it went in, and he, you know, he walked over in front of the pep band and the student section, and he just kind of stared him down and nodded his head. He had that swagger early on.
Mm-hmm.
Then he gets 2 fouls called against him, and Heath Schroyer said, you know, he kind of got real tentative after picking up those 2 early fouls, and he's such a leader for them, they really couldn't take him out of the game for that long. But, you know, Brandon said, there's not one guy who can hold me to 7 points, but the way they played team defense – you know, was what really threw him for a loop. And, you know, I remember a couple times Darius Santee flashing out on him, Rene Rougeau flashing out on him. Everybody had their shot at Brandon Ewing, and everybody did great job.
Sean O'Gary said the same thing. He said that what really surprised them is the weak side help, the weak side defense. There was always somebody else there. There was always another body there to pest him, and especially on the baseline. The Cowboys were just shut down on the baseline.
No backdoor, none of those backdoor buckets that Colorado State and TCU were getting.
Nope.
They got a lot of those. These guys weren't.
Well, and the Rebels used that to their advantage. You know, they kind of turned the tricks on that today.
Yep.
During his 11-point run, Wink Adams had a beautiful backdoor cut on the left side. Nice little bounce pass from Oscar Belfield. Boom, boom. So, O'Gary said that, once again, you know, we've heard that plenty of times this year, that defense really flustered them.
Yeah, and O'Geary was really the only thing that kept Wyoming afloat for the longest time. He had 21 points. That was a game high, and it came on 7-15 shooting, 7-15 3-point shooting. Didn't take a shot attempt inside the arc. I didn't see him go inside the arc, period, all that often, but he did keep them alive for a while. But
he was unconscious, huh? Yeah. It almost looked like
shoot, that first shot attempt he took of the game was from almost 30 feet.
That kid's pulse rate is like a python's.
Come on, you got to give the sound effect with that.
Later.
Oh.
No, I got the ostrich on tonight. Come on.
That's weak.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
you don't want no ostrich pecking at you.
Let's go back.
Hey, wait, no, let's back up to Ewing, too. I wondered, you were talking to him, and I'm real curious about the free throws. He was 3-for-7 at the line, and that's very unlike a Brandon Ewing.
Well, and, you know, a lot of that was the result of, you know, Schroyer talked about him getting tentative and not being himself, and that swagger was gone. And, you know, we noticed several times his body language. You know, when they would go to timeouts, he'd just be walking with his hands on his hips, just staring up into space, moving his head around. He had, You know, he was, I think mentally he was not checked out, but he was taken out of his effectiveness very early on.
And that can easily transfer to the free throw line, of course. And then you start missing them. Yeah. He misses first four.
Yeah.
So once you miss them, you know, and you get frustrated, and then it kind of just rubs in, and it can really exacerbate itself. So that's what we saw.
Yeah. Well, going back to the UNLV side of things, let's talk about some other things that stood out.
Let's talk about that, because Darger said something to me afterward that was very interesting. Uh-huh. You know, these guys don't like losing back-to-back games. Mm-hmm. They've done that twice this year. So that's another reason why tonight was so important. Back-to-back games is one thing on the road. Three in a row really stings. That's something that doesn't happen to a Lon Kruger team. It hasn't happened this season or the previous two seasons. Kruger's first season here, they lost four in a row at one stretch. His second season, they lost five in a row early that season. Since then, they haven't lost more than back-to-back games. This season and the past two combined, they are now 14-3 in games after losses. So he kind of knows what to do, knows what to say. And poor Wyoming, because UNLV thrashed Wyoming last season.
Off a loss.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they talked about they knew they were going to get UNLV's absolutely best shot tonight. They knew it. Ewing was saying, you know, look, I know Wink Adams personally. I know Joe Darger. I know those guys really wanted to give the fans something tonight because of the tough week that they had. And, boy, they needed it in so many ways, not only to get that intensity back, get some kind of a swagger back, but also because of what's on the horizon.
Right, and let's get to that. But let's back up to Wyoming last year. That win did not come off a loss. Mm-hmm. They had thrashed BYU in that previous game. But the reason why that is important is because it was Wyoming at the MAC last season when Wink Adams went for a career-high 33. So when Wyoming comes down here, they must cringe. And especially after Wink getting healthy, that stuff happened about 3 weeks ago. Boy, there he is getting healthy against the Cowboys again.
Yeah, and you know, he needed to show it. And, you know, we really can't talk enough about how badly this win was needed. And, you know, let's go back to talking about the hustle plays, the intensity that all fed into the 22 offensive rebounds. You look it up and down the stat sheet. Trevon Willis, 13 points, 5 assists, 5 rebounds, no turnovers. Oscar Belfield, 4 assists, 1 turnover. You know, Rene Rougeau and Joe Darger getting 6 offensive rebounds each. You know, everybody was chipping in some way. You know, Mo Rutledge had 6 rebounds in 9 minutes off the bench.
That's fantastic.
There were guys just all across the board just really wanting to get their piece, I guess, of shaking this team out of that mini funk.
Right. You know,
everybody wanted to have a hand in it, and everybody did.
They did. And you know what we haven't really talked about either is that we saw them miss at least 10 layups or bunnies or close shots.
In the first half, yeah. In the first half alone.
Well, I don't know if it was 10 in the first half.
It was 8 at one point.
But it was at least 10 for the game.
Yeah.
And this could have been a real major blowout. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they always have something to work on. And Wink said afterward, that's pretty ridiculous. There's always something to work on, and we got to work on that because that's unforgivable. You need those ones, especially in a close game, which could be coming up soon.
Especially because you're not going to get 22 offensive rebounds every game.
Right. Right. And you know what? A lot of that, you know, obviously missing their own close shots, they're in great position to get their own rebounds. But the last time they attempted or took at least 70 shots was against Fresno State last season. That 84-71 victory at the Orleans Arena back in early December last season. So that kind of shows you they got a lot of shots.
Yeah. And it's going to be a totally different pace of a game, I would have to imagine. Let's look ahead now towards Wednesday night. UNLV is going to head up to Provo, Utah, the Marriott Center. That home court winning streak was already snapped this year by Wake Forest, but still not going to be a very easy place for the Rebels to go. Probably not the most welcoming place, especially if Lee Kamard's wife is in the stands.
Oh, left hook Sarah. I hope she's not listening. Sarah, how are you?
I'm sure she's not.
Probably the best thing for UNLV is, I mean, this is such a big win in so many ways, but the last thing they wanted to go to Provo with a 3-game losing streak. Mm-hmm. So they're feeling a lot better about themselves. And, you know, this is roughly the shell of a BYU team. I mean, the majority of it that they thrashed 70-41 last year here. So they know how to beat BYU. And without Plystead, they don't have to worry too much about Santier, Bryce, Musamba really having to put up a low post fight. They know they can go to the small lineup, and that's been the most effective thing for them. They can probably bait BYU into running a bit, and if the turnover, you know, if they can get some more turnovers and thwart the Cougars that way, then hey, you might see an upset.
Yeah, that's and you mentioned Bryce and Darius. Updating that, 3 rebounds between the two of them in 23 minutes. So a little bit of a – they had 3 in 39 minutes on Wednesday night. So that's still an area of concern. But, you know, when everybody's crashing the glass the way they were tonight, you know, that masks that quite a bit.
Yeah, you know, and Santee did get 10 points, so in all fairness to him, at least he was being productive in some areas, and he was aggressive. And, you know, with a Dave Hall crew, you got to be careful because, you know, maybe the less I say, the better, because he'll listen to this and call me up and tee me up.
Right? He's teeing everybody else up.
Oh, my gosh. Get back in your box, Heath.
And then Schroyer, after he gets the foul for being too far out of the box, instead of being concerned about his player getting a technical, he's concerned about Lon Kruger being on the floor.
Oh, my gosh.
Boy, that just talk about just throwing some wrenches in a game that's going pretty smooth.
He's a pretty intense guy, but you know what? Like Tim Miles, he has a real good sense, a keen sense of humor also. I talked to him at Mountain West Media Day about looking so much like Joey from Friends, and he laughed. He never heard that one before, but he's heard a lot worse, so he didn't mind it.
Well, let's offer up some early predictions. We haven't had a chance to do a lot of the research yet, but some early predictions on Wednesday night and what we're going to expect to see. This is a very feisty BYU team with a lot of pieces that are very very much like what UNLV has in terms of at the point guard position. Fredette's been having a great sophomore season for the Cougars. Lee Kamard, you know what you're going to get there. A lot of interchangeable pieces for the Cougars, much like with the Rebels.
Yeah, you know, I'm just looking over the box real quick, and another good point probably going into that is Lee Kamard is quite a role model to Rene Rougeau. Rougeau really would like to play like him. He fashions and tries to model his game after Kamard, and it's been a real big thing for Rene to try to get close to averaging a double-double this season. And here he is with 14-9 tonight, 6 of his 9 on the offensive glass, and he shot 7 for 12, so... 4 assists. He's looks like that was a perfect springboard for him going into a BYU game. He didn't get any blocks tonight. He had 5 turnovers. Still is lazy with some of those passes. He has to sharpen that. But if he can sharpen that part of his game, then that could be the real key to their victory. A victory if they can win in BYU. You know, if they're going to win, it's going to be because Rene is, as usual, across the board, spectacular,
which
self.
He was tonight, and he'd kind of disappeared.
Well, five turnovers,
but he
is...
but I mean, he had kind of disappeared a little bit those
right.
last 2 games
right.
in terms of. And the play that's going to stick out from tonight is the first bucket of the second half that UNLV got. He turns Adam Waddell into poster material on that dunk, gets a foul call, misses the free throw. Darger gets the offensive board, gets it poked away from behind. It's going out of bounds. Rougeau comes out of nowhere and dives and taps the ball back into Adams. The possession, I mean, it turns into a 4-point trip down the floor for UNLV because Willis hits a baseline jumper. And, you know, the plays like that disappeared for a long stretch of time against Colorado State,
right.
against TCU. Like you said, a perfect springboard in that regard, too.
You know what? That's probably the most important sequence of the evening tonight. We can talk about Wink Adams scoring 11 in a row, turning a 4-point deficit into a 5-point advantage. That was big. Feeding the crowd, feeling it, pumping up his team. That was big. But you know what? And the dunk was big, but even what followed was probably the best part of the game for UNLV players and for fans. The way Rougeau dove on the court for a ball. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen that at all.
No.
That's really been ticking Kruger off. And so finally somebody's hustled. They save the ball, turns into points. That could have been the biggest play of the day.
And that was big also because Wyoming scored the first points out of the half, and they were only down by, at that point, what was 5 points. They were, you know, they were feeling pretty good about themselves, and UNLV took them out of that pretty fast.
I agree.
Well said. Any final comments before we get out of here?
Please, please, please tell me that Dave Hall does not have a ticket for Salt Lake City on Wednesday. Tell me he doesn't.
Hold on.
Can we bust into Southwest Computer and see?
I want to ask you a question right now.
Ask me anything, Rhino.
So we're boarding the plane Wednesday morning to go to Salt Lake City, and we have a boarding group passes, and we're getting on the plane, and there's a guy in front of us. The golden seat in the exit row, which you covet so greatly, is open, and the guy in front of us takes it, and it's Dave Hall. What will your reaction be?
Well, folks on the radio who are listening to this can't see it, but they can hear it. I'm going to go.
You think the python sound is going to scare him away?
It's going to scare him off the plane.
Ooh. It's probably better than just have two refs out there.
Maybe I'll just tee him up.
And you got to, yeah. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
For Rob the Python Nish, this is Ryan Green. This has been the Rebel Room Postgame. We will talk to you from Wednesday in beautiful Provo, Utah. Take care.